Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours we're not in church a week. I'm your host, my name is Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by our pastoral care minister, Patrick Chella. Patrick, how are you doing today, sir?
Physically okay, but emotionally not okay. Early hours of today, a message came about a friend in Zambia who passed away. And yeah, it was kind of shocking to me. Yeah, I was a very good friend, a pastor and a professor. And well, it's a great loss.
I am super sorry to hear that. You know, I appreciate you sharing that. I think a lot of times when people are asked how they're doing, the temptation is to just say good or okay. Yeah. But especially in times of loss and things like that, there's value in sharing, most certainly. I hate to ask this, but would you mind, was it COVID related per chance?
Yeah, he had COVID. I heard that he was admitted to hospital on Friday, and he had a shortness of breath. But then, unfortunately, early, I think it was around 1 a.m. when he passed away.
Mm.
Yeah. COVID has hit our country so badly. I think maybe because of opening South Africa, the borders with South Africa, which was hit so hard.
Yeah.
And so the movements of people and plus the new wave from Europe. I hear it's spreading a lot in Zambia, in our country. So, yeah. I was so concerned about my family. I made calls, couldn't hear any response.
That'd be
hard. Got me worried. For the whole week, I've been trying to call, no response. Oof. I spoke to my niece. I called my niece and could hear her voice, but she couldn't hear me.
Oh,
but
no.
Then we ended up texting each other, and she told me everybody was okay. And then
that's good.
Shortly after that, my brother called and said everybody was fine. So I'm at peace with that.
That's good news. You know, I think, you know, we're always so tempted to think about where we are. You know, I think we think of the COVID crisis here in America, but it's an international issue. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in Zambia. It's happening all over Europe. It's happening I am super sorry to hear about your friend. And I think I can speak for our listeners to say that I think all of us will be praying for you and your family.
Thank you.
And I also have no good way of transitioning out of this. So this is just going to be weird. you know, we're in this series called Once Upon a Time right now. And I asked Olivia this last week, and I think it'd be fun to hear it from you. I'm curious, what is your all-time favorite story? It can be a movie, a book, a series, it can be whatever, and why?
Yeah, generally, I like action movies.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those is The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I like The Walking Dead. There's so much you can take out from that, from watching that that show.
Man, that was not the answer I was expecting you to say. I love man,
there's a lot you can, you know, apart from the scary images. I know many people don't like looking at those images.
Mm-hmm.
My family, the girls, my wife, they don't like watching that movie. I've watched it through up to the ninth season, and waiting for the 10th to come on Netflix. There's a lot that you can. I don't really, you know, focus on the images.
Yeah.
I follow the story of the surviving people.
Yeah. I mean, just watching the characters develop and who they become.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character on the show?
You know, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But I just like, who is this guy? Was a policeman.
Rick?
Rick. Yeah. That's I like that the leadership of that of Rick. And you see, there's a lot of conflict going on amongst the surviving and versus, as they try to survive from the Walking Dead. And it's captivating when you see how the people are trying to survive, organizing themselves in a community and exercising that leadership. But again, there is jealousy, there is conflict, groups. You are doubtful of a newcomer. You don't know who this person is and what he's going to bring to the group. And so you first keep him, in close guard.
We could just turn this episode into a Walking Dead recap. I mean, that'd be fun for me.
But
I'm really thankful that you used the word conflict there because the central theme of this last Sunday was conflict. Mm-hmm. So Patrick, I'd be remiss if I didn't also ask, how do you feel about conflict? How do you deal with conflict? Are you someone who is uncomfortable with it? Are you run away from it? Are you head forward about it? How do you feel about conflict?
Yeah, generally, conflict is a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Though many people think conflict is evil, but I took a course in conflict. I've learned that conflict is not evil. It's a normal thing. It's the attitude. It's how you approach conflict that can make it evil.
Yeah.
Conflict in itself is never evil. But I feel, looking at the Sunday, January 17th, 2021 message on conflict, is that it's like a spear to me, a spear piercing through my flesh, deep to the bone.
Oh no!
Deep to the bone marrow, in the sense that I feel moved, and that tends to make me become introspective. Start searching myself about what kind of a person I am, even when it comes to facing a conflict.
Hmm.
I don't run away from conflict.
Yeah.
And even when there is conflict between me and my wife, I may suspend and run away for a while. Mm-hmm. And when I go out, usually I remember whenever I had a conflict with my wife and it heated up so hard, I had to get in the car and go away, allow the spirit to speak to me, and I start reflecting on my contribution to the conflict.
Yeah.
And that helps me to come back and say sorry to her.
Yeah.
And I don't run away from conflict. I'm a kind of a person who likes reconciling, because I know that we all can go wrong.
Yeah.
And conflict can never be avoided. People run away from conflict.
Yeah.
People commit suicide. People pretend.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I've trained myself not to do all those things.
Yeah. So you say you took a class on conflict and a lot of it, is focused on the value of it. So Curtis shared this quote Sunday. He said, "You can't tell a good story without conflict. The story can't be beautiful or meaningful." Mm-hmm. We're taught to run from conflict, and it's robbing us of some really good stories. If I was a good podcast host, I would have wrote down who said that quote, but I can't remember. But so with that quote in mind and with what you're saying, what do you think the value of conflict is? Why is conflict good?
Yeah, you see, the value of conflict is that it provides opportunities. And according to Ken Sunday, the author of a book called The Peacemaker,
mm-hmm.
he says conflict provides opportunities to know first. The first opportunity is to know God's will.
Mm-hmm.
That in a conflict, when a conflict arises, Christians should first sit down and say, "How can we glorify God in this conflict?"
Hmm.
Okay, that would be a guiding
That's a super smart thing to do. That'd be hard to remember in a conflict moment, but yeah, it'd be super smart thing to do.
Yeah, and that's why there is need, you know, to, if leaders could read a lot on conflict, mm-hmm. so that when it comes to, because leaders deal a lot with conflict, when it comes to that time, such things can be remembered. What can guide us in resolving this conflict? So how can we glorify God, you know, in order to know God's will? That question is very, very important. The second thing he says is that conflict provides an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
For this to happen, we must seek to follow Jesus, in whom we can have access to the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we can start to grow in love, joy, peace, forbearance, gentleness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. Then the third thing he says, that conflict provides an opportunity to see God's will realized. Hmm. In Acts chapter 6, we read about the conflict between the Grecian Jews, mm-hmm. and the Hebraic Jews. The apostles took the opportunity to reveal God's will of prayer and the ministry of the word. Mm-hmm. When the factions submitted to that will, there was a new development among them, and mm-hmm. God's will was realized. So conflict provides opportunities for us to know God's will, to grow, and for us to see God's will realized.
Man, that, like, I feel like we could stop the podcast right there, because you just shared a lot of wisdom, and I'm super thankful that you brought some of that wisdom to this podcast. And there's a lot there. A particular conflict that Curtis talked about this last Sunday, because, you know, we've been talking about the story of Moses, and he shared when, you know, Moses killed the Egyptian. And for those of you who just don't remember, you know, Moses come upon an Egyptian abusing a Jew, became angry and killed the Egyptian. And when Curtis shared this, he said something I have never considered before. Mm-hmm. And that's either, I mean, went to college to study ministry, have studied the Bible a fair amount of my life, and I never considered this. He said, you know, Moses had the power and authority to order the Egyptian to stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, Moses was a child of Pharaoh, basically. He could have just said, hey, I order you to stop, but he didn't. He chose anger and sin, and therefore killed the Egyptian, which actually stripped him of his ability to make any actual change as an Egyptian authority. He had authority. He could have done good things. He could have changed things from the inside, but he lost all of that because he acted out of anger. So Patrick, how do we avoid that mistake? You know, how do we avoid the temptation to go after anger or violence, or in some cases verbal violence, in the midst of conflict, and choose godly methods of dealing with things?
Just like I said, that conflict is inevitable. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't avoid it. It is impossible to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
And second, it's not normal to not get angry. Mm-hmm. But we must not become abusive when we become angry, and not let anger last forever.
Yeah.
Because anger is a dangerous gift.
Yes.
I call it a dangerous gift.
Really great way to describe it, because it is a gift. People forget that. God created us with anger.
We see, you know, emotions, all kinds of, we have to react to a lot of things.
Yes.
Some of the things we will be angry. But like, I think it's Andrew Lester who described anger in two forms. He said anger can be creative, mm-hmm. or anger can be destructive. Mm. In a creative anger, that anger directs towards what is positive, or positive results.
Changing, you know, being upset about something, changing it for good.
Yes.
Or pursuing good.
That's right. Think of Jesus when he overturned the tables in the temple. He was directing people to what was good, than to use the temple for, you know, money changing and all that. And the destructive anger, you know very well, by the way, destructive.
Unfortunately, you know? I think we all have had experiences with destructive anger, either in ourselves or with someone else.
Yeah. And so we have one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, mm-hmm. Which we can apply to the anger that can become dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because God knew what we humans can be, and He provided the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I think that, you know, in conflict, the first place to begin with is the heart.
Yeah.
And I like the way Curtis brought forth the character. When you look at the violence, when you give that example of violence in D.C., Washington, I don't think he was preaching about violence. I think he was addressing the gist of the matter, which is character.
Yeah.
The character, like he gives the example of Moses, that's a very good example that it brings forth, mm-hmm. for us to see, and reflectively, as a Christian, we are building our character after mm-hmm. Christ's character. We invest in our lives to build after the character of Christ, mm-hmm. so that when we are on the stage, it's Christ's character that comes forth than us.
Yeah,
and that takes us to doing what God's will is, to search what is God's will in this conflict.
Mm-hmm. But
the character matters a lot.
Yeah, because
that's the center of things. I think when you look at the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you.
Hmm.
It's what comes out from the heart that defiles you, that shows who you are.
Yeah.
So in conflict, if you cannot overlook, then seek reconciliation, coming to, you know, the methods of God. Seek reconciliation, looking at Matthew 18, verse 15, you know, of go between the two of you. If it fails, bring a third person. If it fails, go to the third level of taking the matter to the church. And the fourth can only come if the person does not agree.
Yeah.
Then it must be taken or looked like or regarded like a tax collector. But yeah. You know, you and I know well that Jesus ate with the tax collectors.
Yeah.
So,
I think what you're saying is really important too. It's like sometimes you're going to mess up. Sometimes you're going to, because what you're saying is anger in itself isn't wrong. It's how we respond to it that can be good or bad. And it's worth noting that if for some reason we do respond to anger poorly, there's a lot of value in seeking reconciliation and apologizing. You know, if you're a guilty, if you've been married long enough, like you were saying, you know, if you haven't apologized to your spouse for saying something in anger yet, you must have just got married. I mean, but yeah, I think that's really important, and it's worth recognizing, and you know, and this is part of the way that God created us. Like mm-hmm. God created us. There's some survival instincts built into our brains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, conflict is one of those things that's a little tricky because if our brains perceive a threat, if we feel like someone is attacking us or maybe attacking something we believe, it can actually trigger fight or flight within us. You know, it
exactly.
can trigger that adrenaline pump that, you know, that moves the blood away from our brains and to our body to you know, fly, fight, or freeze. So it's kind of worth acknowledging that. I was reading a book recently that was talking about brain science, and the author described it like this. He said, I think his name, it's Mike McCargue. He said, our brains are kind of like a human standing on a dog standing on a crocodile.
Oh, wow.
which is very strange, but this is what he meant. He was saying that when we interact with conflict or perceived threat, typically the crocodile is the first responder, which is why a lot of us might say something we regret or do something that we wouldn't typically do because it's a survival instinct. And then eventually the dog steps in and they can see, they can kind of sense things. They're reading the room. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the human puts down the newspaper and joins the conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's like, if you've ever been in an argument and 15 minutes in, you're like, I wish I had handled this completely differently. that's the human stepping in. But yeah, it's like, as Christians, it's worth recognizing that self-control, like you were saying, is really important. Mm-hmm. How we respond to anger is really important. How we respond to conflict is really important because we can either do things that are really helpful or do things that are really damaging. Mm-hmm. And there's, advice for how we should be that comes from 1 Peter 3:8-9. And Curtis shared this Sunday. He said, it says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And that passage is challenging. It is hard. It is not how a lot of us Christians behave in our lives or on social media or anything like that. So Patrick, when you read this, like, how do you think we as Christians can get back to 1 Peter 3:8-9?
I think, Curtis is calling our attention to the command, that we obey the command by being collaborative, if I may use that word, or cooperative in the midst of diversity. Mm-hmm. We are different. We come from all kinds of different backgrounds. Some of us are introverts, others are extroverts. God has created all kinds of different people, races, and all that. Mm-hmm. He created the man and the woman. You can imagine the difference that there
different is. Perspective, yes. Different cultures, different yes. strengths, different weaknesses. Yeah. Yes.
And so, conflict is likely to arise, but what helps us is when we obey the commands given to us in the Bible, to which Curtis is calling us to be cooperative in that midst of diversity. When there is conflict that has hit, we need to cooperate with one another. That all our relationships must be fulfilled in love. Because in love we can be sympathetic, mm-hmm. or compassionate. We don't have to be so rigid in our hearts against one another. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we hold on so much to this is my idea and die with that idea. We become so rigid. This is what I believe. I can never detach myself to this belief. But for the sake of others, we have to have that tender heart where we can, collaborate with others for the sake of advancing the will of God.
And in fact, as people who are created to be in community, it's when we can detach ourselves from our, single-mindedness, our I know best mentalities, and then we can be in community and collaborate, like you were saying. I really do believe that that is when we are at our best, because other people can see things better than we can. That's true.
Yeah. Getting back to that, like you're asking, is looking at the command. What is the command saying? And seeking to obey, to obey that. We are called to love our enemies and pray for them, than pay evil for evil. We should not forget, our calling as Christians.
Yeah. So if you're hurling insults or you're cussing people out or it's like you're not probably pursuing the Christian command. That's for dang sure. And this is kind of an out of left field question, because it doesn't really have anything to do with what we're talking about. But when you read this story, How does it make you feel to see God call Moses back and use him despite the fact that, you know, he failed and he has faults? In fact, he killed a guy. I mean, when you see that, how does that make you feel?
You know, it just makes me feel, you know, a wonder that God, you know, God doesn't work like human beings. As human beings, we look at, we come up with the standards on who can do this, who can do that. It's worse if somebody came out of prison and is trying to look out for a job and they find out that this person was in prison. He killed a person.
Yeah.
And, oh, no job. And but that's not how God works. Of course, I'm not condemning, you know, our standards, because they are there to secure interest and...
Yeah, there's reason behind that stuff. Yes. So, yeah, it's
But God sees beyond what we see. He sees potential. He can turn ashes into beautiful, like we sing in that song. God breaks us, he molds us, and makes us after his will, and uses us to the advancement of his kingdom. Think about Paul. He was a murderer, but God called him and changed him to serve. In Zambia, we had a missionary who came from the U.S. And this guy's testimony was that he was saved in prison. His background was that he was part of some dangerous gangsters. And when God saved him, he said, "I want to go and preach the gospel to Africa." How many churches did he plant? Over 100 churches. And so, you know, God doesn't look at the now. You know, God sees the future of what we are bound to become when we submit to him.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, you know, it's so funny. Whenever I think of this, I think of it very selfishly. I think, thank goodness that God will use me despite my mistakes and failures, you know. But I think, you know, that what you're saying is true. You know, maybe God's standards are different than our standards, and maybe we should be a little bit more open-minded and mindful about accepting others, even if we think that maybe they've had faults or mistakes. But yeah, it's certainly tough. God definitely sets a high bar for us to achieve. So we're wrapping up here. I do want to offer you kind of one last chance here. Is there any kind of parting wisdom or advice about conflict before we get off here?
Sure. You know, conflict, like we started saying, can never be avoided. We should not run away from conflict. If we run our way, it must be something that is dangerous, something that is, you know, conflict that is scaring life or threatening life. But we shouldn't, if we run away, we must also seek to say, okay, is this okay for me to go back and settle the matter? Because that matter will never end by just running away. The other thing is we should not live in denial or pretend that there's you know, all is okay when when deep down in the heart things are still bubbling. We should seek always to settle the matter. That brings peace. Reconciliation brings peace. Don't commit suicide because conflict has gone beyond my reasoning mind, and don't commit suicide. You know, the best is to wait and to seek help, to look for counseling, or to go to ask a mediation, to ask other people to come in between and try to help out. And much more, when conflict hits, people want to compete. Avoid win-lose situation. Yeah. It's better both to lose so as to win each other than to go after winning my ideas and winning my beliefs and winning this and that. In Christ, that's not what we go for. In Christ, we don't go for win-lose kind of a situation, because that is what worsens conflict. Always reflect on your contribution to the conflict. What is my negative contribution in this conflict?
Yeah.
That is always helpful to look at another person's idea and also borrow from that to change my ideas. Listening is very, very important in conflict because it allows for you to change your mind over something. It also allows someone to bring out all that is inside and for you to work out together in peace. I think that it's very, very important for us Christians to continue double-checking our character, the inner being of ourselves, because that is what matters a lot when it comes to be on the stage of conflict.
Yeah, I asked you for a little bit of wisdom. I think you just gave us a ton. I think my favorite thing that you just said there is that it is better for you both to lose and win each other. I'm gonna that's gonna stick with me after today. I really like that quote. I don't know if it was from you or from someone else, but it's certainly wise. I'll give the credit to you. And thank you for joining me today, Patrick. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you to all of you who are listening this week. If you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. And if you want to keep up with all of Crossroads activities and find more content, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and all those you can find by searching Crossroads Christian. Especially on that YouTube channel, there are all kinds of contents for adults, kids, and teenagers. But more than all of that, I ask all of you to please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours. Have a great week.